stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning? We'll look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll begin by reading verses 1 through 4, and then we'll pick up other verses as we come along this morning. If you look on with me, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen, for by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, still speaks. Listen to it in the first three verses again in the New American Standard Version. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things that are not seen. For by it, that is by faith, men of old gained approval. That's God's approval. And by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes as we come before the Lord. We stand before him this morning, having read this passage of Scripture. What a powerful, powerful word. What a powerful chapter in all of the Word of God. And it deals with you and me. It deals with your heart and my heart, a heart of faith. As we come before him today, would you just ask the Lord to give you understanding. Let God's truth speak to each and every one of us and to our hearts to discern and discover what faith really is and what our faith is really all about according to the Scriptures. And as we come this morning, let's ask him to bless the reading of his word. And Father, today in this place, we give you thanks for who you are. We thank you for your grace and mercy that came to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Father, that it was there on the cross of your Son that your wrath was satisfied for all of our sin. And this is the foundation of our faith before you and before the world. We ask, Father, that you would speak to us, speak to our lives, speak to our hearts this morning through your word, that you may get the glory through the way that we live our lives. And we pray and ask all these things today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. Last week we were talking about how the world was. I introduced it and talked a little bit about it a moment ago, how the world is openly attacking God and truth, and immorality is everywhere, and open immorality is more and more accepted all around us. And then as we came to look at some things last Sunday morning about we just need to be real. As Christians, we need to be real out in the world that we're in. And the first point of the message last Sunday was that a very powerful truth and something that we just need to always keep on our minds and our hearts, and that is that salvation is a calling of God. It is not when we make a decision. There is decision involved. We talked about that. But salvation of God, the salvation of God, the saving grace of God is a calling of God on our hearts and on our lives. Jesus himself said, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. So we know from the Scriptures that it is God who's the author of salvation. He authored it. He prescribed it. He purposed it. He set it all forth in eternity past before anything was even spoken into existence. But it is by the Spirit of God that everyone hears the calling of God on their hearts. And it's the calling of God that comes through His Word, through His Gospel, and through the needs that we have there in our lives. And so, as we shared the last Sunday morning, something very important about this great truth. The saving grace of God is by the calling of God on our hearts and our lives. Just think back in your life at the time you heard the gospel, whether you were in church or out of church. I was not going to church. We had stopped going when I was about 4 years old or so, four, maybe five. And I wasn't in church, and I didn't learn the things that children learn in churches today. I didn't hear those things. But at the age of 12, through the gospel, God touched my heart and touched my life. And I realized it was God calling to me, bringing me to Himself. And I believe everyone who names the name of Christ would be able to go back and think about their calling to God comes through a time when God spoke to your heart and to your life and drew you to Himself through His gospel. Well, that is the work of God. It is the work of the Spirit of God to bring us to Him. And that being true, that being the absolute truth, we come to now to understand what God wants you and me to do. So when He calls us, the response of to the calling of God in our lives is that of faith. And that's what I want us to see this morning, to look this morning. God has put that on my heart for us to come and look. And chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is the chapter that deals powerfully with this this truth, this idea that comes from God. And so faith is the response to the calling of God in our life. When we read through Hebrews chapter 11, all of these men and all of these women, we see that they responded to what God had issued out to them, what God had compelled them to do or called them to do. So next time you read Hebrews chapter 11, just notice that as you read it. And as you come to someone who's listed in here, go back and read their history back to the Old Testament and look and see how all that came about. And you'll see it was the calling, the working of God in their life and how they responded to God. And so we look at the scriptures about responding to God, and we've come this morning to deal with this. So look with me now at verse 1, chapter 11 and verse 1. Often I thought for a long time, and as I've studied more and more in this, I'm beginning to realize that what we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3, is not really a definition of faith. I think we can learn a little bit of what faith is through these verses, but it's more of a description of what faith does. And I believe it's hard to actually define what faith actually is, what really is, because it's so powerful, so complete, it's so comprehensive. But notice with me what the writer of Hebrews says here in chapter 11 and beginning with verse 1. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things that are not seen." And as we come to see this, he begins this verse with the word "now." So it's connected back up what comes beforehand. And in many theologians and many Bible scholars believe that the book of Hebrews was a series of preaching sermons or messages that the people back in the early church days, those that were called, they preached and they taught in the synagogues or they taught individuals, wherever it may be. And that the book of Hebrews is actually put together by one who God led to do that. And chapter 11 is one of those chapters that can stand alone. And in chapter 10 and verse 39, just the previous verse to chapter 11 and verse 1, the writer of Hebrews, whoever that was, brought this part of Hebrews into to look at faith. He said, "But we are not of those who draw back into perdition." In other words, we're not of those who fall away from the gospel or fall away from the truth. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So he introduces this idea of faith and salvation. And then we have chapter 11. All of these verses in chapter 11. So we look at verse 1. We see the word faith there. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." And this word faith is the word that means that which evokes truth, that which evokes faith to those, to bring someone to believe something to the extent of complete trust and complete reliance upon. And so in the context of God, in the context of Christ and the gospel of God, faith is what brings you and me to totally trust in God and to come to rely upon Him. And so we see that faith is not just a mental attitude or a defined thing we have in our brain and our thoughts, but it's something that changes the heart. It draws the heart and brings us to God so that we have complete trust and reliance upon Him. So this verse goes on to say, now faith, it is two things. It's first of all, it's the substance of things hoped for, and then it's the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance, and that word substance means reality. And it means something that it's kind of got a big history there, but to keep it simple, it just is a reality that brings the assurance of everything that God has done. He's done for on behalf of mankind, His creation. And for you and me in our day and time and this time in history, God has done everything He's done in your behalf and in my behalf. And so faith is the substance of the reality of all that God has done, that He's done it for you and He's done it for me, and that we have the assurance of God in these things. Then He says, it is the evidence of things that are not seen. And the word evidence there, it means to give the proof. It is the proof that results in a conviction, a definite decision, a heart that is set upon the truth and set upon God. And so this idea of faith and the description of faith is, as is presented here in verse 1, it's given to you and to me to see that this is something that God has done. He's worked in you and in me, and He has a purpose in all of it. Now, notice that He says that it's the substance of things hoped for. So this is the substance. This is the reality. The things that you and I hope for. And this deals with the things of the future. What do you hope for? What is your, we have lots of hope, and we hope in God, and all the promises of God are there, but what are some of the things? What are probably one of the most important things that you and I hope for? Well, I believe it's the resurrection. The resurrection, the day and time when God will raise you and me, after we die on this earth, after He comes back again, He will raise us from the dead. The resurrection. Every time we lose a loved one or a friend or a family member, we go to the cemetery and we know that they knew Christ. We know that this is not the end. We know that there's a resurrection day coming. And so the writer of Hebrews plainly declares that faith is the reality of things that we hope for. We hope for the resurrection. That day and a time when we will live again. The word resurrection means to stand again. To stand again after one's own death that is there. And so it's a resurrection. Something else that we hope for that is still yet future is the return of Christ. We know that God has said, Christ Himself declared, that He will come again one day. He will return one day. That's one of the things that we hope for is return. And the more we see out in the world, the world that we live in, we believe it's closer. And certainly it is, but we're beginning to see the evidence of it because Jesus gave, and the Scriptures, even the Old Testament, give us signs of what it's going to be like. And I believe that we are certainly there at that place in this life, but that's something that we hope for out there in the future. Something else that we hope for that's still yet future is the glorification of the saints. That is that you and I stand before God with a new body. Stand before Him approved. And accepted. That is the glory of God for us to be stand before Him there and accepted. So this is a description of what faith does, partial description of what faith does. It is a substance of things hoped for. It is not a feeling, but it is a confidence. Faith is a confidence. Then it goes on to say, in the second part of that verse, it is the evidence of things not seen. And that word evidence is the proof that results in convicting us that we are sure that something is real and true and accurate. And so it is this the things that are not seen. What are some of the things that are not seen that you and I, that our faith brings to us? Well, the forgiveness of our sins through Christ's sacrifice. We've heard the truth and we believed it. By conviction, we are determined. We are convinced that what Christ did on the cross, He did as our substitute. He did in our behalf. We know that we're going to die because of sin in our lives, that we're going to die. But God took it away through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a promise of God. God promises to forgive sin. God promises to give His Spirit. God promises to give you and me eternal life. And the moment that you were convinced and convicted of your sin and you trusted Christ and you called upon the name of the Lord, God gave you those things. He gave you the forgiveness of sin. He gave you the gift of eternal life. And He gave you of His Spirit. And so these are things that are not seen. And this is the evidence. This is what faith does for us in our lives. And then secondly there, it is an intercession of Christ in heaven. We do not see Christ in heaven interceding for us, but we know He's there. We know He intercedes for the saints at all times. So it is this hope is the future. And then the substance or the evidence then is the things that we have now. So faith perceives what you and I cannot see. Someone has said this about a summary of what faith does. Faith binds the believer securely to the reality of what one does not yet see, but what we all hope for. Now this in mind, with these, this kind of this description here of what faith does, we need to see one important thing today about faith. And that is that faith is a response to the call of God in our life. All of these men and women in all of this chapter were men and women who heard God and received a call from God. God spoke to them in some way. And their faith was what they did with what God called them to do in your life. So the question for you and me in your life and in my life is, what are you doing with your life since God has called you? What am I doing with my life since God has called me? We're called by God, and faith is the response of God. So in verse 2, just look very quickly, it says winning God's approval. It says in verse 2, for by the faith the elders obtain a good report. And it is because of the kind of faith that these men and women had that they received a good report and acceptable approval from God for their lives. The report is something is spoken about them, or something that is an account given about something or someone in their lives. And the writer of Hebrews says they obtained a good report in their lives. So where does it begin? Look with me at verse 3. The writer of Hebrews says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Don't you think it's amazing that faith begins with the truth of creation? Go and read in the book of Psalms from time to time. Even in some parts of the books of the law, the first five books of Moses. When the people of God rehearsed the works of God, they almost always started with the creation and began there and moved forward and delineated what God did throughout all the ages of time. And so the foundational truth is the creation of God. He said, through faith we understand the worlds were framed together. You know, you can't prove how everything came into being. You cannot understand how everything came into being except that God did it. That's the only thing that makes sense. That's the only reality that can even be there. God called forth the creation. It says there by His word, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by what? By the word of God. God called forth all of creation, all the universe, the earth, everything. And the same God who called everything forth called you and me to Himself. And so we begin to see that faith is the power of God, the power that God gives to you and to me to respond to Him, the ability to hear the truth of His word and to come and to obey Him and come to seek for Him, come to search for Him, and to respond to Him in every way in this world and this life that can happen, that can be. And so it's by the word of God that everything came into existence. And the latter part of that verse says, out of nothing, God made everything. Out of nothing, God called forth. And by His power, the word of His power, He brought it into existence. And by the word of His power, He called to you, to your heart, and to your soul one day in your life. I remember that day in my life. And I didn't realize what all was going on until later. Afterwards, I could look back and see that God put everything together so that I might know Him. The power of God's grace, the power of God's love, the power of God's mercy that worked in my heart, in my life, and I know in your heart and in your life. So the people of faith, beginning with verse 4, we're just going to look through some of these just very very carefully here. One other word, though, concerning verse 3, and that's in Romans 1, chapter 1 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul, writing there about the gospel of God, he says in verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world." See, Paul starts with creation in this gospel. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and glory." Godhead. So how do we recognize that there is a God and who he is and what he has done? By looking out at his creation and seeing his glory. Psalm 19 talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. Day into day utter speech, night into night shows knowledge. God is who he is and what he spoke. And so Paul says, as he begins to come to this gospel of God, he said, "Everything from the creation of the world being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and his eternal Godhead, so that every man is without excuse." That's why the people in other parts of the world, or maybe people down the street from where you and I live, if they do not know God, if they've never been to church, or if they've never heard the truth, once in their life they are still accountable to God. Because the knowledge of God is everywhere. Everyone is without excuse. But we begin now to see the people of faith. The writer of Hebrews established that. Now he's coming to show us the response of faith in the lives of these people. Look with me at verse 4. First of all, there's Abel. "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous before God. God testifying of his gifts, and by it being he being dead, he still speaks." His word speaks on the life of Abel. The righteousness of Abel lives on. And so Abel responded to the truth of God in his life. And he offered a sacrifice of the heart of righteousness and truth and obedience. Whether it was actually the fact that it was a blood sacrifice as opposed to his brother Cain, who offered the sacrifice of the works of his own hands. We know this, he had righteousness in his own heart. And so he was acceptable to God because he responded to God in faith. In faith it was that response and in obedience to him, and he offered the sacrifice. Look with me at verse 5. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was not found because God had translated him, because before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." And so you see then, faith is a response to the truth of God. Faith is a response to God himself. Verse 6 is a commentary on Enoch in verse 5. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." It is impossible to please God. Because he that comes to God, first of all, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. There are two parts to this truth about faith. Without faith it's impossible to please God. But the person who has faith must believe, first of all, that God exists. What's the number one challenge in the world, in our society, in America today? What do people say? Is there really a God? How do I know that there really is a God? I can't see him. I can't touch him. And for the person who doesn't know him, I can't talk to him. I can't communicate to him. But what does faith say? Faith says we must believe that God is, that he exists. And he exists how? We've seen that already. He as the creator. He's the one who has created all things. And then secondly, it says in verse 6, concerning faith, that not only to believe that God exists, but that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. That God will bestow to man what he needs in order to live his life and to live eternally with him. And that is through faith, through the gospel of God. We believe that God bestows the forgiveness of sins. He bestows to us the gift of eternal life. He gives to us of his Spirit, and his Spirit indwells each and every one of us. So we begin to see now faith, Enoch responded to God by faith. He lived his whole life in that manner of way that is there. Look with me the next verse, verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things and not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah responded to the call of God in building the ark. But that's not all he did. Remember, he preached. He preached for 120 years while he was building that ark. Noah responded to God. And that's what faith is, responding to God. His will, his purpose. Doing what God has called us to do. Look with me at verse 8. Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. Did not know where he was going. Who was Abraham? Abraham was a pagan moon worshiper. An idolater, just like all the other idolaters on the face of the earth. But God, in his grace, he moved and he spoke to one Abraham. For whatever reason, God chose Abraham, and he called Abraham, and he told him to go out, that he was going to show him things, and he was going to make a nation of people on the face of this earth. And so by faith, the Bible says, Abraham, when he was called to go out, that he so that he would afterwards receive an inheritance, he obeyed. Oh, but you see what faith is? Faith is responding to God in obedience. In obedience to him. And so he went out, not knowing where he was going. The verse 9 just says, by faith, responding to God, he listened to God his whole life. Now he failed. He wasn't perfect. We all fail. No one's perfect. That's not the issue. But faith guided his life. Does faith guide your life? You and I may fall short from time to time, but faith should guide your life and my life. And verse 9 says, he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same. And it goes on, and it's Sarah. Then Sarah, by faith, she believed God. She responded to God, and she called God her God as well. And so the list goes on and on down through this passage of Scripture. There is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, there's Rahab over here in one of the verses down here in about 30, verse 31, that are there. Then the writer of Hebrews begins to do something with verse 32. He goes then to the judges that are there. He looks at the judges and he names them and he calls them out. And three of them there, he talks about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and then Jephthah. There's four of them there. And Gideon, what is he remembered for? He's remembered for his dream and for what God led him to do as he put that fleece out before the Lord. Barak is remembered for his daring. Samson was remembered for his defiance in his life. And Jephthah is remembered for his declaration. Remember, he's the one that said, God, if you will help me and deliver these people into my to my hands and be to overthrow them there, I'll give you the first thing that walks out of my door when I return home. And who walked out of the door but his daughter, his only child, his only daughter. And so there's the life of these men throughout all the Old Testament that and women, that they responded to the calling of God in their lives. And there were all manner of things there. He goes into verse 32. Then he talks about David. So there are the kings. And then he goes to the prophets. There's Samuel and of the prophets that are there. And these are the men and the women, the heroes of the faith, as some have called them. They are those people who responded to God, the call of God on their life. And these are the people who performed all of these things in their lives and at the calling and the beckoning of God. Now, there's a lot of things to look at here and to think about here, but I just want us, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes as we come to conclude this morning and to think about what God is saying to us in this chapter of the Bible. God wants you and me to have a faith that is unshakable, that is unmovable. The principles of faith. We didn't read the entire list. It takes too much time to do that. We can go down through here and you can go back and go to the Old Testament. We can read there. We see that God used all kinds of people to be his servants. God can use, does use all kinds of people. And faith uses all kinds of ways and means to accomplish God's will and God's purpose. And faith enjoys all kinds of success. Because you see, when God is the object of our faith, not man, not religion, but the person of God and the person of Jesus Christ, then God is the winner. God gets the glory. And you and I are called to be men and women of faith throughout our whole lives. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what tragedy, no matter what circumstances occur and what happen, you and me, each of us, in obedience to God, respond to God in our everyday life. There's a whole message behind doing that. But this morning, you responded at one time in your life to the call of God to saving grace. And now we walk by faith, responding to God over and over and over again. God calling us. God using us. God declaring to you and to me as individuals His will and His purpose. And that we glorify Him by walking and living in obedience to Him. So we come in this place today, perhaps, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, you know, I've not come to that place in my life. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe that He died on the cross for me. I believe that He died for my sins. I believe He rose again from the dead. And I believe that God will forgive sins. He'll forgive my sins when I ask Him to. But you see, all of that hinges upon repentance and faith. I've talked to many people over the years who say they ask God to forgive them every night of their sins. Yet when I speak to them even more, they declare that they do not know God. They have all the right things. They have the right understanding about some of it anyway. But then, they hear the depth of truth of what Christ did for them and understand through the gospel of God that repentance and faith is required. Repentance is the forsaking of sin and turning from sin. And faith is responding to the call of Jesus Christ on your life. As Jesus said over and over and over in the gospels, follow me, take up your cross. And follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. If you do not love the Father more than you love the things of this world, even your own family, you cannot be my disciple. He said those things and other things. But today, if God is calling to your heart for salvation, then you come to Him. You say yes to Him. You yield to Him. You respond to Him with a commitment that you're going to follow Jesus Christ, going to turn from your sin, and you're going to call upon God, trusting and believing and knowing that what Jesus did on the cross acquired for you the forgiveness of your sins and acquired for you the gift of eternal life. And so you come to Him today. You come as you're here today in this place. Whatever God has spoken to your heart and to your life, this invitation time is for you.